Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, February 4th, 2022. Coming up this hour,
tech shares rebound as Amazon earnings boost sentiment.
Facebook owner Meta comes off the worst one-day crash in the history of the stock market.
It's a big day for data as investors await the January jobs report.
And the crisis engulfing UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson gets even worse.
President Biden visits New York City on gun violence, plus plaintiffs have sued Governor Kathy Hochul over New York State's redistricting plan. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
John Stashower in sports. St. John's with a win at Georgetown and a strong denial for the Giants in the Brian Flores lawsuit.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And NASDAQ futures are climbing this morning in the wake of Amazon earnings. We are coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg, with NASDAQ futures up 127 points this morning. S&P futures up 10. Dow futures lower, down 55. 10-year Treasury up 5/32, yield 1.81%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.21%. The euro, 1.1462 against the dollar. Nathan.
Well, Karen, what a difference a day makes. Facebook sent the NASDAQ plummeting yesterday. This morning, it's a reversal, with futures getting a huge boost thanks to Amazon's earnings after the bell. The shares of the e-commerce giant are up 12%. The rally comes after Amazon posted blockbuster profit in the cloud and raised prices for its U.S. Prime membership. Ed Ludlow has the details from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
The annual price of Prime will rise by $20 to $139, the first increase since 2018. Executives touted the slate of live sports content to come and new series like Lord of the Rings, beyond benefits like shipping discounts. Amazon was also able to negate higher input costs and labor challenges in the quarter with monster profits, some of that tied to gains on its investment in EV maker Rivian. The cloud and advertising unit, which was broken out for the first time, also performed well. In San Francisco, Ed Ludlow, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. And we're also seeing a major bounce back in two stocks that took a pounding yesterday. Snap, which lost almost a quarter of its value, is surging more than 46% this morning. Pinterest is up 15% in early trading. We get more from Bloomberg's Doug Krisner.
Snap's fourth quarter sales increased 42% to $1.3 billion. Daily active users of the company's Snapchat mobile app topped forecast. Separately, the earnings from Pinterest were above estimates. Quarterly revenue jumped 20% compared to last year. And these gains sparked a turnaround in social media stocks in the extended session following a rout triggered by the disappointing earnings from Meta Platforms. In New York, I'm Doug Krisner, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And Doug, speaking of that sell-off tied to Meta, turns out the one-day crash now ranks as the worst in stock market history. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett explains.
The Facebook parent plunged 26% and erased about $252 billion in market value. That is the biggest wipeout in market value for any American company ever. Michael Nathanson with Moffitt Nathanson titled his note, Facebook, the Beginning of the End. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. The plunge in Meta shares has one potential silver lining for CEO Mark Zuckerberg. And we get the latest live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. The big question here is, if Facebook users are flocking to TikTok, then should it be considered competition? And if so, the more challenging landscape adds muscle to fight a pending government lawsuit against Meta. Since Meta's earnings missed yesterday, CEO Mark Zuckerberg has continued to cite competition from TikTok as a threat. That claims is at the heart of the FTC's antitrust lawsuit against Meta, which says it's a monopoly with no true competition. Meantime, Bloomberg sources say Zuckerberg is telling staff to focus on growing Facebook and Instagram's short video product Reels, which is a copycat of TikTok. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. Yesterday's Facebook-led sell-off saw the NASDAQ plunge 3.75%. The volatility's not a surprise to Morgan Stanley chief U.S. equity strategist Mike Wilson.
You know, we've had this narrative of fire and ice, and we think it's going to be icier. You know, that doesn't mean recession. It doesn't mean negative payroll numbers for the next 5 months. But, you know, the idea that we're not going to have some payback here from what was a spectacular, you know, kind of rebound during the pandemic, we think is naive.
Morgan Stanley's Mike Wilson made the comments on Bloomberg Surveillance. Catch the program on Bloomberg Radio and Television at 7 a.m. Wall Street time.
Well, yesterday was all about corporate earnings, Nathan. Today, we focus on jobs. The government's monthly payrolls report is at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. Consensus calls for a gain of 125,000 jobs in January, but plenty of predictions call for a much lower number. Bloomberg's Michael McKee explains.
This may be one of the most interesting and inconsequential jobs reports in many years. The Omicron wave that spread through the country in January likely caused many companies to pause hiring plans, and many workers sick with COVID likely were off payrolls during the month. Economists anticipate the weakest hiring in a year, and many think the economy may have lost jobs during the month. The unemployment and participation rates are forecast to be unchanged. But it's not likely to matter to markets or the Fed. The central bank has made its next policy moves clear, and investors will discount bad news as temporary, looking for a payrolls rebound this month. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Mike, thanks. We now turn to politics overseas, with the crisis engulfing UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson's government getting worse now. Let's go live to London and get the latest from Bloomberg's Max Ramsey. Good morning, Max.
Morning to you, Nathan and Karen. Really a significant escalation here of the challenges facing Boris Johnson with the resignation of four of his closest aides. We're talking about people in the Prime Minister's most inner circle, including his chief of staff and his communications director. But most damaging has been the resignation of his policy chief. She really hit out at Boris Johnson because of a remark he made attacking the Labour Party leader, Keir Starmer. Now, this all comes in the wake of what's being called in Britain Partygate, these lockdown-breaking gatherings in Downing Street. And it's only getting more serious, the fallout now, for the Prime Minister. Live in London, Max Ramsey, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Max, thank you. And in the oil patch today, geopolitical tensions and a fast-tightening global market has crude on track for a seventh weekly gain. West Texas Intermediate hit a fresh seven-year high and is up more than 4% this week. Right now, it's at $91.55 a barrel. Brent is at $92.30. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 6:07 on Wall Street, 55 degrees in Central Park, with the winter weather advisory kicking in later this morning. Michael Barr is here with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. The tri-state area is in the path of a winter storm. Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolyn has the latest.
Michael, we have a pretty wild contrast across the tri-state area in the Hudson River Valley. Temperatures have already fallen to around 32 up around Stewart Field in Poughkeepsie. That cold air is going to be pushing southward into the city, and that will change our precipitation over to some freezing rain for a while before it goes over to sleet later this morning. So be very careful as the morning goes on, because roads will become icy, especially those elevated surfaces, as that colder air pushes down from the north. A winter weather advisory in effect from 8 this morning through 7 p.m. this evening. Michael?
Thanks, Rob. New York Mayor Eric Adams talked about curbing the surge of gun violence in the city during President Joe Biden's visit yesterday.
It's enough. Enough is enough, because we know we can do things about this, but for the resistance we're getting from some sectors of the government and the Congress and the state legislatures and the organizational structures out there.
Mayor Adams talked about his new police unit to combat gun violence that replaces the controversial old anti-crime unit.
We're not bringing back the anti-crime unit. This is not going to be a plainclothes unit. This is an anti-gun unit where the officers are going to have a modified police uniform, and they're going to be in unmarked vehicles.
Mayor Adams spoke on ABC's Nightline. 14 plaintiffs are suing New York Governor Kathy Hochul and state Democratic lawmakers. The lawsuit in the New York Supreme Court claims that the state's new congressional and legislative maps are unconstitutional. Hochul has signed off on new maps that give Democrats a heavy political advantage over Republicans. Republican officials meeting in Utah have advanced a resolution that would formally censure Representatives Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger for their perceived disloyalty to former President Donald Trump. The GOP won't try to expel them from the party. New York City public school cafeterias are going vegan today as part of a new policy from Mayor Eric Adams that starts this week. Public school students in Queens had mixed reviews.
I don't eat the school lunches. I feel like they're disgusting.
will file her as a no. Adams is a vegan himself. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Meaty subject. Thank you, Michael. Almost 6:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stanshauer.
All right, Nathan. 2 days after the Brian Flores lawsuit, the Giants responded with a strongly worded statement. They call Flores' allegations disturbing and simply false. They say they took Flores' candidacy to be their next coach serious and deny they had already made the decision to hire Brian Daboll before they interviewed Flores. Worth noting, the now infamous Bill Belichick text that was meant for Daboll instead went to Flores took place even before Daboll had his interview. Giants reacted to that text saying they have no affiliation with Belichick. He does not speak for them. Daboll and the Giants have named Mike Kafka their offensive coordinator. He's been the quarterback's coach in Kansas City. Doug Peterson, who coached Philadelphia to their only Super Bowl win, named the new coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. St. John's with a 90-77 win at Georgetown. Julian Chepagny, 27 points. Patrick Ewing's Hoyas are 0-9 in the Big East. Top 10 teams met out west. Arizona beat UCLA. NBA, the Warriors beat the Kings for their eighth win in a row. Klay Thompson's best game since his return, 23 points. Trae Young scored 43. Atlanta put an end to Phoenix's 11-game winning streak. The Nets have lost six in a row. They played tonight at Utah. James Harden named as a reserve for the upcoming NBA All-Star game. Kevin Durant, not the only injured Net. Joe Harris has been out for some time now, and there's word Harris may need a second ankle surgery. The MLB owners have asked for federal mediation in an effort to end the lockout. Opening ceremony is coming up this morning in Beijing, site of the 2008 Summer Olympics. Now, the Winter Games. John Stashauer, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. S&P futures are turning a touch lower now. They're down 3 points. Dow futures deepening their losses, down 158. NASDAQ futures still higher by 89 points. We'll talk Amazon earnings straight ahead with Poonam Goyal and Matthew Bloxham of Bloomberg Intelligence. Stay with us. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. Rain will change to sleet and snow today. Temperatures falling through the day with a winter weather advisory in effect. Mostly sunny tomorrow, upper 20s, low 30s by Sunday. Right now, clouds and 55 degrees in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. stock index futures are giving up some of their gains this morning. NASDAQ futures, though, remain higher, up 91 points. S&P futures are now little change. Dow futures are down 150. 10-year Treasury up 4/32, yield 1.81%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.21%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.5%, up $1.31 at $91.58 a barrel. Bitcoin this morning moving higher at $37,900. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. A major winter storm that already cut electric power to about 350,000 homes and businesses from Texas to the Ohio Valley is aimed at Pennsylvania through New England. The crisis engulfing Boris Johnson's government deepened as four top aides quit. Among those quitting is UK Prime Minister's Chief of Staff, Dan Rosenfield, amid the furor over the Partygate controversy. The U.S. leads after the official opening day of the team figure skating event at the Beijing Winter Olympics. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks for coming up to 6:19 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak as we continue to assess Amazon's earnings. The shares are up more than 11% in the pre-market, but it's kind of a tale of two earnings, really, when you think about this company. So we're bringing in two analysts from Bloomberg Intelligence to break down the numbers. Poonam Goyal, senior analyst who covers U.S. retail, is with us. And Matt Bloxham is back as well, tech media and telecom analyst at Bloomberg Intelligence. Poonam, I'll start with you just to focus a little bit on the online e-commerce side of the results we got yesterday. A bit of a slump compared to last year. What's your read on the most forward-facing business for Amazon?
Yeah, sure. So online sales, for the quarter were actually in line. They came in at about 9%. But that said, their guidance for 3-8% increase we thought was weaker than we would have expected. And it seems that investors have kind of put that on the side, given the membership fee increase, which obviously flows straight to the bottom line, helping offset the margin concerns that they've had for years, given growing labor and freight costs.
Yeah, it did seem as though investors were pleased by that announcement that they were raising the cost of Prime membership. Do you think it'll offset the rising costs that Amazon has had to put in to get deliveries in on time and to pay their workers during the pandemic?
So I don't think it completely offsets it, but it definitely does have some offset to those growing costs. As I said, you know, these costs have no fees associated with it, right? They flow straight to the bottom line.
And Matt, I'll turn back to you in terms of how you read these numbers. Obviously, we have the e-commerce side. We have the cloud side as well, which continues to outperform.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's, you know, a very big business, almost $18 billion of revenue in the quarter, but it grew 40% and delivered pleasing margins. You know, I think people have, for some time, kind of looked over the shoulder at what Google's doing and what Microsoft's doing and how much that might eat into Amazon's, you know, historically dominant position with AWS. But, you know, it's outperforming those two. If you look at the same quarter, Google's cloud business, which is only about $5.5 billion, grew at about 35%. Microsoft's total cloud business was up about 36%, so outperforming, you know, its closest rivals. So I think people will be encouraged that it's still got really good momentum.
Though, when you see that kind of momentum from the competitors, though, Matt, can Amazon continue to hold on to its market share and what now really has become sort of the dominant aspect of Amazon's business?
Yeah, I guess, I mean, if you were being optimistic about, well, not just Amazon, but the cloud business in general, you say that perhaps your market share is still not that important an issue because the market is just continuing to expand. So, yeah, I think the hope would be there's still plenty of room for everybody, given that so many companies around the world need to go through a pretty substantial technology transformation journey, pushing all of their legacy IT infrastructure onto the cloud. And yeah, I mean, Amazon's positioning in that market is still incredibly strong.
I'll turn it back to you, Poonam. As far as Amazon's positioning on the retail side, how do you see Amazon navigating the next few quarters here when we could see a lot more consumers presumably coming out of the pandemic, perhaps heading into more physical stores? I mean, Amazon has increased its footprint on the physical side as well with Whole Foods and some of the brick and mortar department store chains that it's thinking about building. What's your outlook for Amazon?
Sure. I mean, we still think Amazon's best in class when it comes to retailing. They are the largest, you know, if you quantify them as a retailer. And we do think that they'll continue to grow. Look, next year, or this year, I should say, 2022, is all about lapping these tough comparisons, right? We're coming out of the pandemic where they did gain share and the growth rates are particularly high. So as they anniversary those growth rates, the growth rates will appear to be slower, slower than we had expected in the single digit range versus low double digits. But that said, we do think Amazon is still gaining share. People will still prefer to shop online. That is where you find convenience. It's easy. And Amazon couldn't make it any easier with, you know, free returns and 2-day delivery on their Prime service.
When we see the kind of surge in the price that we've had this morning, do you think it's justified, Poonam?
I think, you know, profits. You know, the story with Amazon for a long time was they couldn't turn profits. And I think part of the drive that we're seeing today and for the last few years is driven by two things. One, AWS. AWS contributes 70%+ to their operating profits, which is huge. And we think that engine will continue to fuel profits. But what we saw yesterday on the membership fee increase is another factor that will really drive profits meaningfully for 2022. So I think that's where it comes. It really comes down to the profit line. We're seeing investors reward them for increasing their profit, something that Amazon has quite frankly lagged until it had AWS step up.
All right. Thanks for this. To the both of you, Putnam Goyal, senior U.S. retail analyst, and Matt Bloxham, tech media and telecom analyst, both from Bloomberg Intelligence, as we continue to watch Amazon shares rise in the pre-market, up 11% following those earnings. Coming up to 6:25 on Wall Street, we want to get an update on the pandemic now, as we do every Friday morning. There's a new subvariant of Omicron to keep an eye on as we head toward an Olympic Games where the Omicron variant is front and center as well. Andy Pekosch is with us now, professor of molecular microbiology and immunology at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. Thanks, as always, for being with us, Dr. Pekosch. What can you tell us about this beast? Thanks for the insights. Karen?
Nathan, thank you. It is 6:29 on Wall Street. I'm Karen Moscow, along with Nathan Hager, and this is Bloomberg Daybreak. We're just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Time for the five things you need to know to start your day. Brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Trade crypto for less coin with commissions just 12 to 18 basis points and no hidden spreads or markups. Learn more at ibkr.com/crypto. Up first, U.S. futures. Well, they are a little changed. NASDAQ futures are higher, bouncing back in a big way after yesterday's sell-off. It's due in large part to Amazon, which is surging 11% following earnings. And Ed Ludlow has more from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
It was a strong holiday quarter for Amazon. Despite supply chain disruptions, labor shortages, and rising input costs, and really beat on the bottom line. It was monster profit. But the after-hours moves were driven by a boost in price to Amazon Prime. It will rise by $20 to $139 in the US. And on the call, executives were really at pains to point out that this isn't just about a discount on shipping. There's more value add, like a pipeline of live sports content or new series like Lord of the Rings, which should be coming this year. Ed Ludlow, Bloomberg News, San Francisco.
All right, Ed, thanks. We're also seeing a big bounce back in Snap and Pinterest shares following their earnings. Snap is surging 47%. Pinterest is up almost 14%.
And this all follows the worst one-day single stock crash in history. Nathan, Facebook parent Meta plunged 26%, erasing $251 billion in value. There could be a silver lining for CEO Mark Zuckerberg, though, and we get the details live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. The big question is, if Facebook users are flocking to TikTok, should it be considered competition? And if so, the more challenging landscape adds muscle to fight a pending government lawsuit against Meta. Since Meta's earnings miss, CEO Mark Zuckerberg has cited competition from TikTok as a threat. That claim is at the heart of the FTC's antitrust lawsuit against Meta, which says it's a monopoly with no true competition. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thanks. Turning to the economy now, we get the payrolls report for January this morning. The consensus calls for a gain of 125,000 jobs. Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice reports.
The prior report covering December registered the weakest showing since December 2020. January's data could be even weaker. The White House has said so much in a rare announcement earlier in the week. Bloomberg Economics says the government collected data when Omicron cases were peaking, when confirmed infections were rising faster than the Delta wave. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thank you. And turning to politics overseas, the crisis involving UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson has gotten worse. Four top aides have resigned in the wake of the Partygate scandal. And that's the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. And S&P futures, again, they've turned lower, down about 4 points. Dow futures down 139. They've also turned lower, while NASDAQ futures remain higher, up 86 or 0.6%. And straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thanks. 6:33 on Wall Street, 53 degrees in Central Park. Temperatures falling through the day. We got a lot of accidents to get to shortly. First, Michael Barr with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. President Biden met with New York City Mayor Eric Adams and Governor Kathy Hochul to talk about the recent wave of gun violence, particularly among law enforcement officers. The president also announced new initiatives that the White House says would help fund community policing and crack down on gun crimes.
I'll keep doing everything in my power to make sure the communities are safer, but Congress needs to do its part too. Pass universal background checks, ban assault weapons and high-capacity magazines, close loopholes to keep out of the hands of domestic abusers' weapons, repeal the liability shield for gun manufacturers.
Mayor Adams talked about stopping the so-called pipeline of illegal guns from gun dealers in southern states.
We need to increase our funding to ATF so they can give us the sources of these guns that are coming into our city and cities.
Mayor Adams spoke on ABC's Nightline. The winter storm stretching across the country is wreaking havoc on roads. Parts of the tri-state area get ready for winter weather advisories. New York City Mayor Eric Adams' chief of staff, Frank Carone, was subpoenaed for documents in a $4.5 million federal civil racketeering lawsuit over alleged fraudulent insurance charges. Carone is not a defendant in the suit and isn't accused of misconduct. It's part of an insurance giant Geico allegations that several New York and New Jersey doctors and medical clinics submitted thousands of fraudulent, no-fault insurance charges related to motor vehicle accidents. The U.S. is warning of a plot in which Russia would say it is justified for an invasion of Ukraine. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
The U.S. is saying that it has intel that Russia is plotting to release a fake video purporting a Ukrainian attack on Russia. Defense Department spokesman John Kirby.
We do have information that the Russians are likely to want to fabricate a pretext for an invasion, which again is right out of their playbook.
And Kirby, meanwhile, says Russian troop movements into Belarus are very troubling. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
14 plaintiffs are suing New York Governor Kathy Hochul and state Democratic lawmakers. The lawsuit in the New York Supreme Court claims that the state's new congressional and legislative maps are unconstitutional. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. Almost 6:36 on Wall Street. John Stashower has the Bloomberg Sports Update.
All right, Nathan. It's been 37 years since St. John's and Georgetown played as the top two teams in the country. Patrick Ewing was then playing for the Hoyas. Now he coaches them, and they haven't won a Big East game all year. Red Storm won in D.C. 90-77. Julian Cimpagni scored 27 points. They're having a big year on Staten Island. Wagner is 15-2. Nearly blew a 21-point halftime lead, but a two-point win at Central Connecticut. The Seahawks, 12th win in a row. Nets played tonight in Utah. They'll try to end a six-game losing streak. Knicks begin a five-game road trip tomorrow night at the Lakers, who last night lost by one to the Clippers. The Lakers are without LeBron James right now, and they have dropped 9 of their last 13. Phoenix Suns went to Atlanta, 41-9. Winners of 11 in a row, the Hawks beat the Suns. Trae Young scored 43 points. Doug Peterson, the former Philadelphia coach, named the new coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars, the sixth hire of the offseason. All six are white, although Byron Leftwich was a finalist for the Jags job, and he took himself out of consideration, reportedly did not want to work with the Jags GM, Trent Baalke. Still, only one African-American NFL coach, Brian Flores, is said to be a finalist for the jobs in Houston and New Orleans, even though Flores just sued the NFL on three teams, including the Giants, for racism in their hiring practices. The Giants released a strongly worded statement defending the way they handled their recent coaching search. They say Flores was a strongly considered candidate right up to the point they decided to hire Brian Daboll. Daboll has hired Mike Kafka to be his offense coordinator. He had been with Kansas City. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks. Some of the names moving in the pre-market. It has been a good time to be Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta, because the moves have been crazy this week, Kriti.
They have been, and then I take one day off and all the action happens in one day. Not bitter at all.
Yeah, but let's worst drop ever, exactly.
Let's talk about the rebound here, because you are seeing futures start to dip a little bit. The S&P 500 E-mini futures, they're about flat on the session, but you do still have that massive outperformance in the NASDAQ 100 futures, and a lot of it comes from underneath the hood, a lot of those big tech names. Let's just start with an update on where Meta Platforms, FBs, your ticker, dropping after it dropped, rising up 0.4% after it raised $251 billion in value. It was their biggest wipeout in history. Also the biggest one-day crash in stock market history ever. That being said, you did see a lot of retail investors buy the dip. So you do have FBs, your ticker, up 0.4% in the pre-market. But I think the real highlight is going to be Amazon here. AMZN is your ticker, up 11% in the pre-market. This comes after kind of a triple whammy. They ramped up the price of its flagship Prime membership offer. They also have strong cloud performance. And on top of that, their EPS coming in I get this, $27.75. The estimate was just shy of $4, Nathan. That kind of beat you just don't see anymore. So that volatility from yesterday kind of looks like it might get reversed today thanks to Amazon. Another big tech player here is going to be Snapchat. SNAP is your ticker, up 47%. Those shares soaring, of course, after its first profitable quarter was reported. And Twitter, TWTR, is up in sympathy, up 5.5% in the pre-market, Nathan.
Now, you mentioned the drop in the Dow futures this morning. What's behind that?
Well, Clorox is going to be a major player there. CLX is your ticker, down 13%, saying its profits are going to take a bigger hit than previously anticipated, once again really citing those commodity costs. But they also said, and this is the kicker here, it's going to take several years to rebuild their margin. Jefferies coming out and saying that the shares are likely in the penalty box. So once again, CLX down 13%. Nathan, I'll wrap it up with another major dropper here, and that is Ford. The ticker's just the letter F, down 6% in the pre-market. This comes after their fourth quarter earnings missed estimates and, of course, comes with higher commodity costs once again. So you can really see that plaguing a lot of these more capital-intensive companies.
All right. Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta. Don't take any more days off. Well, I guess we can't say
that. For the sake of the stock
market, right? Yeah, exactly. Although we are still seeing volatility even when you clock back in. Kriti Gupta with us this morning. And as we take a look at stocks as a whole ahead of the Friday morning open, mixed action now with S&P futures now swinging between gains and losses. They're now little change to the upside. Dow futures are still lower, down 105 points. NASDAQ futures still in the green, up 85 points. That's a gain of 0.6%. The 10-year up 4/32 ahead of Jobs Friday. The yield 1.81% on the 10-year note. Yield on the 2-year 1.21%. An update from the nation's capital ahead of this jobs report. Bloomberg Government's Emily Wilkins is with us next. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. A winter weather advisory today with rain changing to sleet and snow and temperatures falling through the day. Tomorrow, it'll be mostly sunny, upper 20s, sunshine, low 30s for Sunday. Currently clouds, 53 degrees.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and NASDAQ futures are holding on to their gains this morning. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. U.S. futures are trading mixed right now, with Dow futures down 140 points. S&P is lower by 7, but like you said, NASDAQ futures in the green, up 58. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.82%. Gold and oil are both trading higher. Bitcoin is up by 2.8%, and European markets are trading lower this morning. On the U.S. economic front at 8:30, non-farm payrolls, and after the bell last night, Amazon had a huge profit beat on the cloud, is also raising prime prices. Shares are up 11% pre-market. Ford EPS missed estimates. Snap revenue forecast beat estimates. And Pinterest is surging pre-market after its numbers. Regarding some of the earnings this morning, Regeneron EPS beat estimates and Eaton EPS was in line. In other news, Tiger Global raised more than $11 billion for its latest VC fund. And wrapping things up, Exelon was quickly neutral over at Goldman Sachs. General Dynamics raised equal weight at Morgan Stanley. And GitLab was raised to outperform over at RBC. Live from the First Alert Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. Russian President Vladimir Putin has arrived in Beijing for the opening of the Beijing Olympic Games. He'll also hold talks with Chinese counterpart Xi Jinping. Meanwhile, the U.S. leads after the official opening day of the team figure skating event at the Games. President Biden paid a visit to New York City and met with Mayor Eric Adams about gun violence. Biden outlined that his administration wants to end the flow of illegal weapons. Snow and ice, a storm crippling air travel from Texas to the East Coast. Thousands of flights have been canceled, and more are expected today. In the NBA, the Warriors won. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
States should save their surpluses, not spend them. I'm Carl Smith, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. One of the few silver linings from the pandemic is that state governments are awash in money. Many are spending it on education, infrastructure, and even tax cuts. But a better idea would be to save as much money as they can in their rainy day funds. The pandemic caused a surge in consumer spending on goods, which are taxable under the sales tax. However, one way or another, that surge has to unwind itself. And when it does, states may be hit with a fiscal crunch. They should be preparing for that eventuality now. I'm Carl Smith. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPINGO on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time, and terminal customers can read more at OPINGO. It is 6:50 on Wall Street. We turn to news and science and technology now with a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, transforming computing professionals into data scientists to meet demand in this fast-growing field. Learn more at njit.edu/data science. Now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. COVID vaccinations among children ages 5 to 11 have fallen to the lowest level since the shots were first approved. It's a sign that parental enthusiasm for the shots may be running low, even as authorities consider expanding the shots to even younger children. 31% of kids 5 to 11 have gotten a shot, compared with 75% of the total population. U.S. regulators are considering rule changes in the wake of the meme stock mania. SEC Chair Gary Gensler told Bloomberg the agency is set to take up a range of policy changes, including the time it takes to settle stock trades. The time lag was blamed for the decision by Robinhood and other platforms to restrict some trading in meme stocks when demand surged. And the work of creating a possible U.S. digital dollar is inching ahead with initial research into the code that eventually could support such a currency. The Boston Fed, in collaboration with MIT's Digital Currency Initiative, released a 35-page white paper on the findings of its technological research, which focused on developing software to process transactions. The researchers created and examined two possible code bases, including one that was capable of handling 1.7 million transactions per second. And that's a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. Nathan.
Okay, Karen, thank you. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers studios, where it's coming up to 6:52 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories from our nation's capital include President Biden declaring the leader of Islamic State taken off the battlefield, a Ukraine briefing sparking more urgency for sanctions against Russia in Congress, and the Republican National Committee considering a censure resolution against two prominent critics of former President Donald Trump. Also making news, a push for a 9/11-style commission for COVID-19. Let's bring in Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins from the nation's capital. A COVID-19 commission, Emily?
Yes, so this would be something that would be looking into the origins of COVID-19, as well as how the U.S. has really handled this pandemic. And Nathan, the most newsy thing might be that this is a bipartisan idea. In the Senate, Senators Patty Murray and Senators Richard Burr, both of them sit on a panel that is responsible for overseeing the nation's health care, and they have proposed this idea. It's still just an idea at this point. They are working on getting support from their colleagues. Senator Patty Murray said she understands it's a pretty partisan climate, but the idea would be to really have a serious bipartisan accounting of what has happened during the pandemic. There have been a couple other panels that have been established to look into this, notably one in the House. But this one would sort of have a more thorough and comprehensive review, a little bit more of a look back. The other panel addressing COVID in the House was established in the middle of the pandemic in hopes of getting people aid and addressing sort of the short term. This one would be more comprehensive, but of course, still a long way to go in a partisan environment that is focused on a number of other things right now.
Interesting that it would be looking back, presumably, on the response from the Biden administration. Have we heard a response on this idea from the White House?
So at this point, one of the key things here is that the reason there hasn't been another commission that's been like this is because Republicans are afraid that this is just going to be an opportunity for Democrats to really just rehash the failures of the Trump administration. And so this is going to be what lawmakers are pitching this as, is something where you're going to look at Biden, you're going to look at Trump. I mean, the Biden administration has, acknowledged that they have failed on some issues. They acknowledge they failed on having enough tests recently, that making sure they had those at-home testing kits. So I definitely think there is concern in Congress for both how the Biden and Trump administrations responded. And I think that's something that lawmakers on both parties are getting more comfortable with the idea of looking at.
All right, let's turn to the pressing matters, including the sanctions push against Russia with the crisis over Ukraine continuing. What's the latest on that?
So lawmakers had bipartisan briefings yesterday on Ukraine, and that definitely escalated that sense of urgency that they had to do something, they had to move, and they had to act on Russia, not just when they invade Ukraine, but even have sanctions before because of simply how Putin has been maneuvering with the troops on the border. Negotiations have kind of slowed just because Joe Biden was trying to look for diplomatic options. But lawmakers are really beginning to coalesce around the idea that sanctions could be needed now. We're not going to get any legislation, though, in the short term. Lawmakers have left town. The Senate left yesterday. The House is going to be leaving today, and they won't be back until next week. And, of course, you know, this is a situation where the White House has said they could expect Putin to invade at any time. So it will be interesting to see how they prioritize this along with major legislation dealing with U.S. and China competitiveness when they come back next week.
In our last minute here, there's a resolution coming against the two Republicans on the January 6th commission.
Yes, they are expected to consider dissenter U.S. Representatives Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger. If you'll remember, both of these are Republicans. They're vocal critics of Donald Trump. They voted for his impeachment. They are sitting on the January 6th committee that Republicans are as a whole, not fans of. And this is, they were initially talking about booting the two from the party, but this resolution is just going to be sort of a censure, a bit of a slap on the wrist for both of them. And both Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger have said, all right, you know, if this is the price that we're going to pay, we're willing to pay it. Kinzinger has announced that he's not planning on running again for his House seat. Liz Cheney still does intend to and is expected to face a very difficult primary, sort of one that will really test the Republican establishment versus the Republican wing of the party that's quite loyal to former President Trump.
All right. Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins with us from Washington. Karen.
Nathan, it is 6:56 on Wall Street. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and February is Black History Month. And every day this month, we're celebrating significant moments in U.S. Black history. Now with your installment for Friday, February 4th, here is Bloomberg's Renita Young.
On this day in Black history in 1996, Republican Oklahoma Representative Julius Caesar, also known as J.C. Watts, became the first African-American to respond to a State of the Union address. He delivered the GOP response to then-President Bill Clinton's State of the Union. Watts was the first Black representative elected from Oklahoma and the first Republican to win the district in 72 years. He was also one of two Black Republicans in Congress in his freshman term. Watts quickly became one of the GOP's most visible spokesmen. That's Today in Black History. I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, Renita, thank you. And again, NASDAQ futures are higher this morning at 43 points, while S&P futures and Dow futures have turned lower. And Bloomberg surveillance is straight ahead. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.